5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Great to be with you. Lovely day.
Put moron number two on the phone.
He was not finishing sentences.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
A nice big Monday helping Damien Barrett, about to join us shortly to talk footy. Of course, there's stories that are trending unusual coming out of Fat, and yes, then a real bad joke to finish us off. It's what Mondays look like as a rule. Hello to you, old Zoom Fat.
A Zoom skinny Fat down here in Geelong, and what a weekend it was down here, Jim, of course, with Reece Stanley and Luke Dalhouse and then Jeremy Cameron. What about Jezza, Jim? Jezza in the number five jumper. Wow.
The least interesting game of the round, that one was, and we had to call it.
No, it was fantastic to come down to Geelong and come down to the country and just get that nice smell of the air, Jim.
Couldn't get in my car and get out of there quick enough.
Don't you laugh, Rabsy, because your side got belted yesterday. How are you? Got him.
And umpire Hare has called for the replay. Now then, let's have a look. And he's gone. Yes, he's given him. So Brayshaw is out, run out, and South Australia 6 for 126.
That was, is that the Shield final? That was not out.
Well, they went upstairs.
Yeah, I know. And the bloody wicketkeeper blocked the bail's being removed, so it should have been not out if that's the same one.
That was Daryl Hare.
Now, Fat, what else have you got for me? Oh, well, no.
He's now showing us his breasts.
Purple will talk AFL footy, yes. Jim. I want to talk some country and local footy.
Oh, my God. Right, okay. Yes, please. Well, just stop getting your boobs out.
Well, Shane Harvey, the brother of Boom Boom, all right?
Yes.
Of course, Brent Harvey. Well, he's just kicked his 1,000th goal in the Northern Footy League, Jim, if you don't mind.
What was that?
He's played 204 games out there, but he's kicked his 1,000th goal. That is a good effort at North Heidelberg. Yeah, no, isn't good. That magnificent? No, well good, done to you.
Well done to him, yes.
Little Shano there.
What else?
Speaking of country footy, Sam Dunstan, do you know old Dunners?
This is the start of our show.
He plays for Hepburn.
What are we talking about local footy for?
Well, this is country. He plays for Hepburn, Jim. He kicked 20 on the weekend against Carnham Linton. Well done to him. And you'll like this one, Jim. Kildunda Bass. Oh. I've just got to be careful saying that.
What the hell?
Kildunda Bass.
Yes.
Well, they had a win on the weekend, their first win. Guess who's playing for them?
Who?
Campbell Brown.
Bill.
Good on you. So that is good.
You couldn't get off to a slower start, could you?
No.
So let's talk about some stuff that really matters.
And you've missed Lids. Lids played for Devon Meadows.
Oh, God.
Did he?
I'm not saying local footy doesn't matter, but when you're a big city drive show, you're not touching on local footy.
We'll
have a look at Cam Smith and Mark Leishman, of course.
What did they do?
Well, they won the Zurich Classic in New Orleans, so a PGA Tour win for those two. Team Mullet, brilliantly done. Also, Ash Barty.
She won.
From the dead to win the Stuttgart final.
3-6, 6-love, 6-3, if you don't mind.
Melbourne Storm.
Well, now, Jim, I watched this last night.
Rugby league.
That's it. There was 20,000 people there last night, of course.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. They defeated New Zealand 42-20.
Oh, yes.
But we know they've had Slater and Smith and Cooper Cronk. But they've found another couple. This kid, Jerome Hughes, he's a New Zealander, Kiwi. They offered him $2.5 million to join the Warriors a few months ago. He said no. He is a genuine star, Jim.
And
then you've got Pappenhausen, of course, who didn't play last night. He's injured. And Harry Huey Grant, if you don't mind. They just keep finding these kids that can play.
Josh
Addo-Carr got over the line. He just dipped the ball over the line there a couple of times, Jim, if you don't mind. So well done to him. He is a star. But what about that? He's leaving. He's leaving the Storm. Going up there. Signed a 4-year deal.
But he explained it on our show. He said he's got family reasons for heading home. So that's fair enough.
And Melbourne United, Jim.
Right, yes, please.
They've won 9 in a row now. 9 games in a row. They won again yesterday. And Jock Landau, the boy we spoke to, he's had an outstanding year. I think he just put 9.
Hutchie in control.
He's just, they're flying. They are flying. 9 in a row, top of the ladder. Well done to Melbourne United.
All right, Fat. Well, that's, you finally got to the sport.
Country footy's important.
In fact, given that we sometimes, are able to pre-record stuff, We can probably cut that.
No, Jim. It's important. It's important.
All right, Damien Barrett, I can see through the glass purple. Let's get him in and talk about the AFL Round 6.
James Brayshaw and Billy Brown, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour, and Round 6 of the AFL season has been run and won.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
We get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Nice to see you, Damo, on a Monday always.
Hello, Jim and Bill. And, yeah, two unbeaten teams after the six, and at least one of those two, a massive surprise packet, I would have thought, given what we thought was going to happen to Melbourne Footy Club at the start of this year, and here we are.
How do you assess Bill, just before we get this segment underway? How do you reckon he's looking?
Well, in the 2 minutes since I've been here, Jim, the screenshot that I can see of him, he's gone from being sideways to at least now being the vertical, but he's got this thin sort of broadcast of himself. And he hasn't even got his whole body
letterbox
in it.
Sort of screen.
Yeah, letterbox. Going, that's the way to do it.
You know, like he hasn't been able to work out how to actually get a normal screen attached to his Zoom.
Well done, Damo, on Saturday. I think we broke something there with the Channel 7 stuff. That was very good by you.
It was picked up by the papers, Bill, I see.
How flat did that fall? You did your best. You even got bloody stupid uniforms on and all the rest of it. And it was as flat as a poop cutter's hat.
Operation Recliner. Very good. Well done, Damien. I tell you what, as you said, a couple of teams flexed their muscle over the weekend down at the Cattery where we were magnificent.
You want to start there, do you, Bill?
No, Geelong were good. Melbourne, as you said, were very good, Damo. Then Essendon were good. A couple of teams are just saying, well, here we are. We're ready to play.
Yeah, and Bill, I want to start with Melbourne for obvious reasons, given they're now 6-0 and have an easy stretch of matches now. I feel they could go 10-0, Jim. They're 6-0, but tell me who they're going to lose to here in the next 4 weeks. North Melbourne?
No.
Jim?
No,
they're not losing to that, are they? No. Sydney is next.
In Sydney or here?
I'll have to check that as we speak.
No, it might be here because Blunston is the venue for North if that happens.
They've got Carlton after that, and they're going to beat Carlton. And then they've got Adelaide.
Yep.
Which leads into a round 11 game against the Western Bulldogs, which is going to be interesting regardless of it being a potential 10-0 form line into it.
But look, I loved it, Purple. I rushed back from, well, it wouldn't matter what was on Saturday night. I rushed back from Geelong. But I got back there and watched it, and I thought they were brilliant. And I'll tell you what I loved about it was the old Ali Frazier fights. They always used to ask Ali why he didn't box, because he was a much superior boxer to Frazier, and he said, nah, I want to stand toe-to-toe with him and show the baddest heavyweight that I can actually stand toe-to-toe. I thought that's what Melbourne did with Richmond. Yeah. They did nothing but go, right, we're bringing to you what you bring to everyone else. Mm. And about 10 minutes in, Bill, I don't know how much you saw of it, I thought, mate, they're gone, Melbourne.
Well, they were 200 big goals belted down at that stage, weren't they?
And then suddenly they just turned it on, and credit to them.
Yeah, it was. And look, a couple of assessments have had it, as you just couched, Jim. They out Richmond. Yeah. And that takes some doing because other clubs have tried to come at Richmond through stealth and through different ways. But they just did what Richmond does, and they just did it a whole lot better. And one of the stats that came out which resonated with me was the 6 goals came from their own defensive 50, which is a Richmond way of playing, and none came for Richmond via the same method. So that was good. It was across the board, wasn't it? We've long now, I think, appreciated and lauded the back line, which is being led by Lever and May, and then Tomlinson's fitted in beautifully.
Brilliant.
Rivers is, for a second-year player, is doing some extraordinary things, as is Jackson up the other end of the ground when he's fitting into that forward line, which is still operating beautifully. And the midfield, it bats really deep, doesn't it?
Yep.
So it's
well done.
I mean, the fact that Brayshaw was the fourth or fifth stringer in it, the way it's unfolding this year is a luxury and one that will come home to play in the back half of the year.
No, I loved them. I thought they were really, really good. Geelong were good, Fat, but West Coast reprehensibly bad.
I can't believe
how bad they were.
Even their coach after the game said they were weak.
Mm. Oh, man.
And that's what you love about him, don't you? Because Simo. Simo, how honest he is. Mm-hmm. You know, we hear a lot of, I suppose, spin from other coaches. Damo, you've been onto this on the Sunday Footy Show and Triple M. But Simo just came out and said, we were weak, we were poor, we were terrible. So I love that. That's what I do love about him. But they've got some injuries too, Damo, haven't they?
Yeah, they do. They do. They've got, I think, bigger worries than the injuries, though, Bill, which are a reason for what's happening. But they cannot win away from home, and they hate it when you raise that. But every single time this year anyway, the three losses have all come away, and they haven't gone. Look, they pushed the Bulldogs early in the season, round two, and that was still one of the games of the year. But beyond that, they haven't looked good away from home, and they've got some genuine worries, which Adam Simpson has highlighted. You touched on Essendon, Jim. Look, both those teams yesterday had a 1-4 score line going into the game, and Collingwood's come out with a 1-5, Essendon's come out with a 2-4. So I still felt it was a great game to watch. You can actually see, can't you, now, and it's not the first time that we saw it yesterday, the plan that Rutten has now for the Bombers. Yeah. I reckon it's obvious now. Unfortunately for Collingwood, I don't see that, and others don't, and we'll talk about Collingwood on the bad side of it, but you've been big on the kids of the Bombers. Cox had another game where he stood up, didn't he, for someone so young, and Parrish Bill, he's been around for a while now in a footy sense, but he's relishing not having Dylan Shiel in that midfield and the responsibility that's now coming his way to take over one of the main posts in that part of the ground.
No, well done. Darcy Parrish, the boy from Winchelsea, of course. But it was interesting. He only got in the midfield because there was injuries in the Essendon midfield. And he's been really good this year. And to do what he did was unbelievable. So I'm very happy for Darcy, boy.
You know, the thing I always say about that, Purple, is footy departments, I'm not talking about Essendon here, I'm talking across the board, footy departments believe their own BS to the point where they disappear up their own, if you know what I mean. Hmm. Darcy Parrish, if you follow his junior footy, was an inside midfielder from the day dot.
Yep.
And yet they come in and they go, oh, we'll spit him out onto the wing. Oh, we'll try him as a high forwarder. And then suddenly Shiel goes out and he goes back in to what he actually is.
Yeah.
And everyone goes, shit, how good's he?
Well, why is it taking 100 matches?
Why does it take someone to go out for them to finally go, actually, he's bloody good as an inside midfielder? He always was.
And he was good in the basically the first contest, wasn't he, yesterday? Brilliant. And he was still kicking a goal late in the contest when they needed it.
He's such a nice kid, he wouldn't say anything. But I bet you if you put the lasso of truth around him privately, he'd say, mate, I should have been playing there from the first game.
He's too nice a kid to say
that. Well, he won't. But he was brilliant yesterday. Well done.
Love Turnagain. He wasn't the best on ground, but I love what Jake Stringer did too when the game had to be won. He just stood up, didn't he? He held his ground, just grabbed the footy in the centre of the ground, didn't want to give it up easily. And it set a theme and it set a tone for that game. And Bill, I know you've loved him for a long time. What Anthony McDonald tipping Woody did too, ice the game with those goals late, and for five in total, it was a very special performance. Other positives, obviously, Port Adelaide beats.
Well, before we leave that game, and I'm saying this especially because Rabbits is across the desk here, who's a tragic Collingwood bogan.
He's not happy.
Not since the 1979 grand final has a ball been further out.
Oh.
Just a Collingwood fan.
It was right in front of me.
Oh my God. The big arms. Oh. He slapped that in from about the third tier, but this one was as far out of play, and it just haunts them.
Look, sometimes looking at it on TV and a still photo, so to speak, can be deceptive, Jim.
Not that one.
That ball was out by a metre. So.
Anyway, well done to the Bombers.
And the crowd, the world's biggest sports crowd since COVID.
Yeah.
78,113. How good is it to see a full crowd like that?
It was, wasn't it? And one thing, I've had a few comments over the past about the Anzac Day ceremony being played at every game. I thought it was great the way they did it at every game this year. I mean, we just all sat through a couple as broadcasters, and I couldn't get enough of it. Look, it might have been arguably, we touched on this on Saturday, but it might have been arguably, you know, seconds too long, but at the same time, it's not for the people who are experiencing it for the one and only time each year. It was amazingly powerful, and to see this Channel 7 broadcast yesterday, Jim, which you were privy to and party of, it was really powerful to see it coming through the screen.
You know the best one, Jim? Saturday night.
Oh, no. It's brilliant.
How good is it Saturday night?
Fantastic. No, I agree with that. Port Adelaide, you were about to comment on, and they're just getting better and better.
They are. Look, I don't think anyone tipped St Kilda to beat them, but the manner in which they're winning is the key to what they're about this year. We know that they got so close last year to a grand final, and they just, in the end, just didn't beat Richmond in a prelim final by a kick. It was unfortunate. They've got a ruthless element to what they're doing this year. I love it. The two teams above them on the ladder are unbeaten in the Bulldogs and Melbourne, but they are performing just as well at a 5-1 scoreline, and they've got options everywhere, don't they? We talk about depth of midfield. We talk about spread. And there's just a hunger, Jim. Yep. And there's, like a, there's, yep. a, there's an aggression, which is well within the rules at every stage of it, across the board.
Impossible
on
not to like. And everyone talks about the Western Bulldogs being the best team to watch in football. I don't agree with that. Port Adelaide, if I have to sit and watch a game of footy and not be a commentator just for pure watching, I will choose them over everyone else.
Yeah,
and I love the way they play.
And I think Melbourne's in the conversation there too. Yep. If they can maintain it, there's a doubt on them because they haven't yet done it over multiple years, as the Bulldogs have done now, effectively, pretty well since 2016 and Port, obviously. So Hawthorn won a shootout against Adelaide, and while it won't mean anything in the context of finals for this year, I wouldn't have thought. It was good to see Jacob Kaczynski get five. Yep. And your boy, Bill, you spoke about him on the Sunday footy show yesterday for the Crows, Riley Thilthorpe.
Is it Phil or Till? Which one?
No, it's Thilthorpe.
It's Thilthorpe. Righto.
It's like you got a lisp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the one that you'd find easy to get your tongue around then.
Riley Thilthorpe. And how good was he? Athletic, took a couple of grabs. He was good on the ground. And he's just got to work on the celebrations. I'm not sure about the old one. But
what did he do on now? I didn't notice that.
Oh, he just had the double cobra up every time. But he had the family there. And he kicked five.
Five on debut.
Yeah.
What about their scoreline at Adelaide at halftime? 14 goals. No points. Just 14 straight. Unbelievable. Yeah. Finished with 16.
And they didn't capitalise because they stuffed up their use of the medical sub, Tommy Lynch, Jim. It was a mess.
We're going to take a little break and then we're having a look at the bad on the other side. And, I'm parking North Melbourne because I think they're going to be perpetually bad for a while. There's another mob that I have very limited time for, Purple.
Righto.
It's the Rush Hour. JB and Bill on the listener app and on your radio. This is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Bill. And Damien Barrett is in the studio to now talk his negatives from round six of AFL action.
The Carlton Footy Club, Purple. Seriously, where is this joint at?
Is this the club you flagged a moment ago as having limited time
for? We're 15 years into whatever the hell they're trying to do at that place. Mm. And I still, when I watch them, I'm a fan of a couple of their players. I mean, Harry Mackay, obviously, with six, well done to Big H. And you know, I like them as blokes and all of that is a given. But seriously, how much more of this crap are Carlton fans going to have to put up with?
Yep. Even if they were never going to win that game against Brisbane, you just expected them and hoped for their sake that they were going to do something that resembled some form of system, and yet they made the same mistakes that they've made regularly. The opposition just cut swathes through them, didn't it, at times?
Well, they got a lead at quarter time. Home game against a Brisbane side that's undermanned, and a very good Brisbane side, by the way, but undermanned. And then they just cough up a 7-2 second term and surrender the game of footy. And so if I'm Teague or any of the people attached to that, John, I'm going, how much more of this are we doing?
But as you say if you're Teague, I mean, Teague's part of it, isn't he? I mean, Teague is part of the problem. He's now been there for three seasons, half a season in 2019, all of last year, and now the five rounds or six rounds as it is now. And I just, there's just not one thing. And I know you've been on this bandwagon, Jim, for probably longer than all of us. There's just not one sign at any stage of the past 15 years that suggests they've turned the corner.
Yeah. Well, I just don't. I mean, you watched Melbourne the other night, who, by the way, in the last couple of years have been as poor, haven't they? I mean, after that great 2018 campaign, they've had
but at
a
least
couple
they had
pretty ordinary
2018.
Years. No, they did. But what I'm saying is but looks to me like Simon Goodwin and the brains trust of that group, Fat, have got into a room and said, right, we're not serving this shite up anymore. We're actually going to stand for something. We're going to turn this thing around and we're going to play the way that we are proud of and our fans are. When is that going to happen with Carlton?
Well, it won't. I mean, there's a body of evidence now, Jim, to say that it won't. I mean, the two wins they've had this year against Gold Coast and
Freo at home.
Yeah.
Undermanned Freo. Oh, look, I'm not death riding them because I don't do that with footy clubs. But if you're a Blues fan, you're just so disappointed to be, what's that,
2-4.
4 again. They've got a game against Essendon this week. How do you know what's going to happen there?
Well, it's a big game in the context of where the coach is. It's a big game in the context of where those players are. So they've paid a lot of money in the most recent trade period. They had done that prior to the 2020 trade period. Those players, they're having an impact, Jim, but it's not the money. It's not the impact that their money would suggest they should be having. And have they identified correctly in those two players?
Has the Sydney bubble burst?
Yeah, it has. The GWS loss prior was a worry, but more so was the one on the weekend of the Gold Coast Suns. We've known the Gold Coast Suns have got ability. They don't really show it. And look, that they clicked on the weekend. And yeah, I look, the 4-0 start to the year is now 4-2. We may have got caught away, myself included, in thinking they were a lock for a finals Perth after that. So I think it has. We touched on the Crows. Just want to back over that, Bill. The use of the medical sub late in the third quarter when it was meant to be executed. Will Hamill had to come off the ground. And when the player who was the medical sub didn't even have his boots on, had to go to the rooms to get his boots on and then warm up, I've never seen anything like it, Bill. And the explanations that they gave post-game or when they even had a press conference hours after the game, it just made no sense that they were readying him to be ready early in the last quarter. You're a medical sub. You're on standby.
Exactly right.
No, but he came into the game injured. Tom Lynch is actually injured. Got a sore toe or something.
How do you have him as that person then?
Well, I reckon they've just flown him over and said, oh, well, let's hope they don't have one. Because he, as you said, wasn't ready. He had to run down, get taped up. So they only had, one less player for that whole time.
It was 13 and a half minutes that they were without access to him at a time of the game when it was being taken away from them. Yep. And a game that they lost by 3 points. So massive debrief on what they were doing. And I hope they, at some stage, they realise that they've just got to put their hand up and say, we stuffed up. Richmond's a worry.
Yes.
3 of the last 4 weeks, Bill, Sydney, Port Adelaide and Melbourne have been losses by Richmond to those teams. And the win that came in the last month was against St Kilda, which has got a question mark over its authenticity right now. So Western Bulldogs Friday night, I can't see them going with the Dogs at this stage. What about you?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. There
an
is
injury.
A worry. I'll tell you. Maybe they have. But Tom Lynch, too, he's just got to fire up, doesn't he? He's got to do a bit more.
Yeah, a few of them I'm really going to be looking forward to the component of this game that has Dusty out of it.
Yes. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how
they have leaned hard on him over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
No doubt.
When you teased that club that you had limited time for, Jim, I was wondering if it was going to be Carlton or St Kilda.
I know. Yeah. Well, what has happened to the Saints? They're sitting, 16th on the ladder?
16th.
This is a team that flew into the finals last year, won a final,
won a
of
final.
Course.
Yep.
I think they would be very internally disappointed with what they've had serving up.
Again, a bit like Richmond, they've only had one win in their past four games. That win came against West Coast, which I think we all thought was a sign that they were back on track. But the one before that was to Essendon, a loss by 75 points. And then the two since it have also been horrendous. Richmond by 86 and Port Adelaide on the weekend by 54. And that could have been a whole lot more than 54. So 75, 86 and 54 have been the tallies of their last three losses. And that they are the losses of a team that's just nowhere near it.
No, they've got a lot of internal soul searching to do down there because that was a very poor performance, no doubt about that. North Melbourne poor too, and we're not going to let them get away with just having a wipeout season, Purple.
Well, they want us to let them get away.
Well, I know they do, but
they suck it up when you raise it. When I raise it anyway.
Well, maybe you do. But I watched on the weekend and they were a long, long way away. Yeah. But let me say this. Well, no but, because that was poor. But Frio, I said at the start of the year that they were the team for me that were always going to rise. I love what Longmuir is doing at that club, and I like the discipline they've got around the structural way they play footy.
You're spot on, and I love the way they're going about it. And they win. They nearly win this week.
Yeah, I agree.
Against West Coast Eagles, wouldn't you, in the local derby.
It's been a while, too.
Yep. Will there be a few people there or no people at all?
That's the worry, Bill. And you love the COVID-19 updates, don't you, with the way we do it on Triple M Footy. And we keep telling everyone that everything changes in half-hour lots. As we speak, Bill, on this Monday afternoon, the game, it's unknown as to whether there'll be a crowd, given there was no crowd for North Melbourne Fremantle on Saturday. As we speak, the lockdown that your man, Jim, Mark McGowan, has put on that state or parts of that state expires tonight at midnight, Monday midnight. But there'll be an announcement prior to that time about what is going to happen there, whether it's an extension or whether it's going to be removed. And there will be, I would imagine, a reference bill to the crowd possibilities on that big game because it's a big one. But given it what West Coast has now got to respond to and the way that the Dockers are getting together a nice little patch of form. Mm.
The narcissism attached to some of the premiers in this country has to be seen to be believed. Like, it's suddenly gone from, okay, this is a federally run thing to now the states have got their eye in because of, obviously, the pandemic and therefore, you know, all the health systems are run by the states in all of the, the big cities. And
they love
my
the power.
Goodness, suddenly they've had their moment in the sun. Haven't some bast in it? He's as much as any of them.
I love it when you get political, Jim.
So what the hell?
Is it neck and neck? Is it Bone Crusher, Al Waverley Star?
Well,
Mark McGowan and Dan Andrews?
Or who is it now? Pace a touch, at least for health reasons.
So
well, he has.
The
fallen.
Daily press conference hasn't been happening as much with him, but the bloke over there, and 90% win in the polls, obviously, will help a man.
It's 97, wasn't it?
Get his eye in, but it doesn't matter what happens. He blames Victoria.
Yeah. And the federal government, which is fair enough too, by the way.
The bloke down in Tassie, he has a go too.
He has a go.
It's nice enough.
That's what I'm saying. They're all over the place. They're like, oh, how good is this? Suddenly people have to listen to what I say.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to just shut my borders.
All right, so we've got some buses.
We do.
All right.
We've got one in the inner city part of Melbourne, Jim. It's going to hover between the Arden Street Oval, which just needs to, and also it's going to just be ready to get across, and it could be as early as this week, and it's probably going to just pop its head in there at Princes Park as well Carlton. So
very close geographically, and you're right. One bus can probably cover those two.
And that one that was on blocks actually there for many years at Carlton, we've still got that one already there. That one hasn't been moved. It's just got a few weeds growing up around it, but that's already there. So we've already got an established setup there.
They've been mowing around that for the last 3 years.
Yeah,
that's true.
It has. There's one going to be heading off to Moorabbin, just a little minibus at some stage as well. And we need to get one of those sort of 48-seaters down to the Olympic Park precinct where Collingwood is based, because one win only to this point of this season is worrying on so many levels. And as we know, there's as many problems off the field for the Pies as there are on, which will still be the story rolling through 2021.
All right, Purple, comprehensive as always. Great to see you.
See you, Bill. See you, Jim.
Damo's recovery session.
This is JB and Bill on the Triple M Rush Hour. Bill's joke to wrap up another show not too far away.
Yes.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. Bill's joke up next to wrap up our Monday show. But before then...
Nobody has their finger on the pulse quite like Billy Brownless.
Now, what are we doing?
This is the Rush Hours. What stories are trending today? Unusual.
Back by popular demand, Jim. Don't worry about
Monday
that.
Too. These are full shows.
Let's go back to Saturday night, Jimmy boy. Bridget McIntyre.
Ah, beautiful girl.
Yeah, she is indeed. Not her fault, this one, but she had to present the winner of the... it was actually called the Frank Checker Hughes Medal to the best player on the ground. Yes. And unfortunately, this happened.
On behalf of both the Melbourne and Richmond football clubs, we are very proud tonight to present the inaugural Frank Checker Hughes Medal. Would you please join me? Well, I actually don't know who the winner is. I think I need to know the winner.
Yes, you would. You sure?
Bill.
You sure? Bridge.
Oh, it's Petrarca.
You sure?
Christian Petrarca.
I don't think you need to be bringing any of that up.
No, it wasn't Bridget's fault, because someone's obviously got to give her a bit of paper to see who they voted on. Yes. So not her fault, but it reminded us, Jim. It reminded us of the great Michael Tuck, who had to just give away a medal, Jim. And the problem was, it was called, you know what it was called, Jim? The Michael Tuck Medal.
Bill, his own name. I was there when this happened.
And this is how poor old Tucky went with it.
Welcome to the podium, former Hawthorn champion, AFL Games record holder Michael Tuck, to present the medal named in his honour to the player adjudged best on ground.
Good evening. The winner of the Normsmith medal is Brendan Favola.
Bill! You more than anyone know that everyone's entitled to make a mistake.
Jim, I've got mirrors.
You've made thousands of them.
Electrifying. Yes, I know. We've made a lot of mistakes, but
what was that?
Just...
What was that he just did?
Save it a song.
So, a couple of little mistakes. We don't highlight them, Jim. But
we don't highlight them. You've just given them two of your best minutes.
But you know why? They're trending. That's why. You sure? Yes, I am.
She's a beautiful girl, Bridge. What else you got?
You want to go again? What, you must be liking this.
Not really.
Normally you close me down, Jim, but I tell you what else is big at the minute. The world leaders have got together for a climate summit. Very important, Jim.
Yes.
I think they all want to be down to... Hang on, I'll come back to you on that. It's anyway, Australia are there, Jim, with 100 other nations, and they're committed to a net zero carbon emissions, by 2050.
Yep.
We've got US there, we've got the UK, we've got Canada, all the big, big countries, China.
Yes.
And our Prime Minister, he got up. And just let me say, he was pretty quiet, to be honest.
It's a pleasure now to call upon the Prime Minister of Australia, Prime Minister Scott Morrison.
You're on, Scott. Scotty.
That's him. Mr. Prime Minister, I'm not sure we're hearing you here.
Oh, no. Jim.
Yes, yes.
Our annual projection updates and quarterly carbon.
Jim. The world leaders, Jim. He did drop it. He muted himself, Jim. Muted himself. And that's the world leaders.
What was that song called? You say it best when you say nothing at all.
Yeah, Ronan Keating.
Ronan Keating. That's him. Old ScoMo.
Yes, poor old ScoMo. So that's trending also.
So this is just a mean segment, isn't it? Where you're just a mean to people.
Well, no, it's just people making mistakes, because I like that, Jim, because we're not perfect. That's why there's rubbers on the end of pencils. No one's perfect.
No
Jim.
One's perfect. You yeah, certainly
right.
are not.
That's right.
All right, joke?
Yes, Jim. It's a joke.
Well, whatever that is coming up next.
All right, now, Fat.
Yep.
Monday's not your best day, full stop, but your jokes on Monday have been real poor.
Mm-hmm. Monday's not my best day. Either is really Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, Jim. We have a problem, Jim.
We do. We do actually just had the boss wander in before pointing that out to us.
Oh, well, I hope he pointed out the podcast, Jim. Wow-wee. There's a hole in my roof here where the podcasts have gone, Jim.
What does that mean?
They've gone through the roof.
I'm just going to play the opening.
He also, Fat also said to him, if you don't start paying me properly, I'll go to Bay FM. So to our boss.
And what did he say?
Oh, as hard as you like.
Actually, it wasn't the reply I was looking for, to be honest.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
All right, here we go.
Now, this is a intelligent one, Jim. You've got to think about this.
An intelligent one, Bill. There's an N on the N.
It's an intelligent one, okay? You've got to think about it. And it's about Paddy. Paddy, Jim.
Oh, no.
Paddy called the RSPCA today and said, I've just found a suitcase in the woods containing a fox with four cubs, Jim. That's terrible, the RSPCA officer said. Are they moving? I'm not too sure, said Paddy. But that would explain the suitcase. Oh. That's not bad. Paddy thought they were moving.
No, Bill. Yeah, as in
packed up, Jim, and
as
moving.
In moving den.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get it, Bill. Yeah. It's
That's
not actually
not
funny, but no, I get
actually,
it.
It's intelligent, it's funny, and it's good from you, Fat. Jill didn't get it. Have a look at it. Got no idea, Jill.
Finish up tonight, Fat.
What a waste of energy.